Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 12, Birth of Emperor Parikshit, Text 22. Mrigendra Iva Vikranto Nishevyo Himavan Iva Tatikshur Vasudevaso Sahishnu Pitaraviva Mrigendra Iva Vikranto Nishevyo Himavaniva Titikshur Vasudevasau Sahishnu Pitaraviva Mrigendra Iva Vikranto Nishevyo Himavaniva Titikshur Vasudevasau Sahishnu Pitaraviva Mrigendra Iva Vikranto Nishevyo Himavaniva Titikshur Vasudevaso Sahishnu Pitaraviva Mrigendra Iva Vikranto Shigemvaniva Vasudevasau Vishnu Pitaraviva Shigemva Iva Vikranto Vaishnavis, Mrigendra Iva Vikranto, Indra Himavaniva, Tikshura Vasudevasau, Sahishnu Pitaraviva, Iva Vikranto, Vishnu Pitaraviva Ragandraha, the lion. Iva, like. Vikrantaha, powerful. Nishavyaha, worthy of taking shelter. Himavan, the Himalaya mountains. Iva, like. Titikshahu, forbearance. Vasudha Iva, like the earth. Asau, this child. Sahishnuhu, tolerant. Pitarau, parents. Iva, like. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. This child will be as strong as a lion, as worthy of shelter as the Himalaya mountains. He will be forbearing like the earth and as tolerant as his parents. Purport. One is compared to the lion when one is very strong in chasing an enemy. One should be a lamb at home and a lion in the chase. The lion never fails in the chase of an animal. Similarly, the head of the state should never fail in chasing an enemy. The Himalaya Mountains are famous for all richness. There are innumerable caves to live in, numberless trees of good fruits to eat, good springs to drink water from, and profuse drugs and minerals to cure diseases. Any man who is not materially prosperous can take shelter of these great mountains, and he will be provided with everything required. Both the materialist and the spiritualist can take advantage of the great shelter of the Himalayas. On the surface of the earth, there are so many disturbances caused by the inhabitants. In the modern age, people have begun to detonate atomic weapons on the surface of the earth, and still the earth is forbearing to the inhabitants, like a mother who excuses a little child. Parents are always tolerant to children for all sorts of mischievous acts. An ideal king may be possessed of all these good qualities, and the child Parikshit is foretold to have all these qualities in perfection. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the verse again, this child will be as strong as a lion, as worthy of shelter as the Himalaya mountains. He will be forbearing like the earth and as tolerant as his parents. So in these verses of this chapter, we're learning about the qualities that King Parikshit will possess when he grows up and takes on the role of being a ruler. At the present moment, he's a child, but the predictions are being given. And it's very important that, you know, the ruler possess these qualities if there's going to be a good kingdom for the population to live in. in the modern age, there's no such trained rulers. You know, they have democracy, and the people are not of good quality in this age of Kali, and they pick another person without good qualities to rule them, and then they wonder why things aren't going on very nicely. So, yad yad atra tishre stas tatari vetaro janasa yat pramanam kurite lokas tat anuvartite. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that the leading personalities should display good behavior because the common people will follow in their path. Whatever example they set, the common people will also follow. So that was the importance in the Vedic system of the rulers, the kings, members of the royal order displaying these good qualities. So that's the general point. And specifically in this verse and purport, you know, Srila Prabhupada is paying attention to the example of being a lion. He says, be like a lamb at home and a lion in the chase. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada would often use, you know, this analogy of the lamb and the lion. You know, there was a case when, you know, Srila Prabhupada was having a discussion with one of his woman disciples. At that time, many of Srila Prabhupada's female disciples were distributing his books at the airports and at other locations. And they were also living in the temple communities. So this one particular lady was pointing out to Srila Prabhupada, you know, that, you know, when we go out to distribute books, you know, we are approaching men, we're speaking with them, but when we go back to the temple, you know, we have to behave in a, you know, different way. You know, keep your eyes down, don't talk to the brahmacharis, so on and so forth. And, you know, Srila Prabhupada used this example. He says, yes, like you have to be like a lion in the chase, you know, when you're out preaching. But when you come back to the temple, you have to be like a lamb. Don't chase after the devotees. So he would use that example in that regard. And another time he was giving a lecture here in Los Angeles about the Shriya Upanishad, and he also used this example of lion and lamb in a different way. You know, he was saying to the devotees, Krishna's like a lamb, but to the demons, to the sinful personalities, he's like a lion. He said, sometimes the atheists say, I don't see any God. And Srila Prabhupada says, but yes, you will see him at the time of death when he comes like a lion to rip you apart. But for the devotees, Krishna is like a lamb, very gentle. Sometimes he would use the lion and lamb analogy to illustrate another principle, namely, might makes right. You know, he said, you know, sometimes politicians, they don't like somebody. They give him a bad name and hang him. And he gave the example, you know, once there was a lion who was drinking some water at a stream. And some distance away, there was a lamb also drinking water. And the lion, he said, the lion looked at the lamb and decided, like to eat that. So the lion said to the lamb, you're messing up the water. You're muddying the water. And, you know, I can't drink it. And the lamb said, I'm so far away from you, I'm not muddying your water. But, you know, the lion just decided anyways, that's it. Attacked the lamb and ate it. And the example is that, you know, sometimes, you know, a powerful nation or country, it wants to attack some other country, but it needs some excuse. It doesn't want to do appear to be doing it without any reason. So they make some little provocation. And then using that as an excuse, then they attack the other country. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada would use the example of the lion and the lamb in that way. So then the next quality that's being given is being worthy of being taken shelter of, like the Himalaya mountains. And in the purport, you know, Srila Prabhupada is explaining how the Himalayan mountains, they have so many fruit trees and caves and springs and streams to drink water, so that even a very poor person can go there and support himself or herself from the natural resources. And of course we learn, you know, from the Srimad Bhagavatam that so many sages and rishis and yogis would go to the Himalayan mountains, you know, to practice austerities and live very simply on the natural resources that were available in those mountains. Of course, it's not very practical in this present day and age. You know, Srila Prabhupada once was explaining how in your country, you know, the United States, you know, he was saying, in your country, so many young men approach me and they ask me how to get to the Himalayan mountains and practice yoga. And he said, I tell them, what will you do? You can't practice. You know, better, you know, if you're interested in yoga, just stay here in this temple and practice bhakti yoga. Yeah, because in this age, it's not really practical to practice the system of Ashtanga Yoga. It may be good to do some exercises. It may be good for the health. But to actually follow the whole system and cause the soul to depart through the Brahma Rundra at the time of death and return back home, back to Godhead. You know, that system is not very practical for the present age. Yoginam api sarvesham madgatain antaratmana shradavan bhajate yomam sabme yuktotamo mataha. Krishna explains that the best yogi is the one who practices loving devotional service to me. So Srila Prabhupada recommended that system of yoga. Yeah, but sometimes people do have this kind of romantic, sentimental idea that, yes, I'll go to the Himalayas, I'll practice yoga. I had that idea before I joined the Hare Krishna movement. Of course, it's very difficult to go to India and go to the Himalaya mountains, but I thought, well, there's the Rocky Mountains. So I went to Boulder, Colorado, and I arrived there at the bus station, and then I just, you know, saw the mountains around, and I started walking toward them. And, you know, going up the mountain, I had the idea I will sit there in a yoga position until I die. Yeah, so I went up the mountain, you know, I started climbing, went up, you know, found some place near a stream by some trees, and I sat there in my yoga asana, and I sat there for many hours. I sat there all night. I sat there through part of the next day, and I said, I can't take this anymore. Walked back down the hill, went back to the bus station, went to Denver, got on a plane, and went back to where I was living. And then somehow or other, I had the good fortune of meeting some Hare Krishna devotees who gave me a copy of Bhagavad Gita. And I learned there's another way, a more practical way to engage in the practice of bhakti yoga for this present day and age. So the Himalaya mountains are there, and it actually is nice. You know, I've been at least as far into them as Haridwar and Rishikesh, and it is nice and peaceful up there, but Srila Prabhupada said that a devotee who is practicing bhakti yoga in one of his temples is in a better position than those who are trying to practice hatha yoga in the Himalayan mountains, at least in this present day and age. So there are the mountains. And as Srila Prabhupada is pointing out, you know, there are in the Himalayan mountains all kinds of minerals like gold. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the account of King Maruta is given. Yeah, in very, very ancient times, long, long ago, this king was living, and he got a blessing from Lord Shiva. He performed some sacrifices for Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva gave him access to a mountain of gold, a golden mountain in the Himalayas. So King Maruta would make use of this gold in his sacrifices. You know, sometimes we see we have fire sacrifices here in the temple, and there are different plates and different bowls and different instruments that are used in the sacrifice. But King Maruta would use the gold that he had from this mountain to make all the instruments of sacrifice. So there were gold plates, gold bowls, gold sacrificial instruments that he would use in the sacrifice. And it was also the custom that after a sacrifice, the king would give the brahmanas charity. So he would give vast quantities of gold. He said, well, take all these gold implements And it was just so much that the Brahmins, they couldn't even carry it all. I mean, you know, sometimes this happens when you're traveling. People give you things, but you can't even carry them, you know, especially if you like to travel light, you know, with all carry-on. You can't accept so many gifts, so you just leave them. So these Brahmins were like that. They couldn't carry all the stuff. They didn't want it anyway, so huge amounts of golden objects accumulated at this place. So many, many thousands or even millions of years later, King Yudhisthira wanted to perform a big sacrifice, Rajasuya sacrifice, and he needed wealth to perform this sacrifice. So Krishna, who was aware of what this King Maruta had did long ago, told Yudhisthira and Arjuna and the other Pandavas, well, if you need wealth, you can actually go to the Himalayan mountains and gather these gold objects that were left by King Maruta and the Brahmanas. So Arjuna was deputed to go up there, and he gathered those gold objects and took them back to Hastinapur to be used in the sacrifice. And therefore, one of the names of Arjuna is Dhananjaya, the winner of wealth. And sometimes when I'm speaking to archaeologists, I give this as an example of ancient archaeology, that there were these gold artifacts that were left long ago in the Himalayan mountains, and Krishna told Arjuna to go up there and excavate them, and he did. So it's an example of transcendental archaeology. So the point is that these Himalayan mountains, they provide their bounty to whoever comes for it, whether it's the materialist or the spiritualist, Srila Prabhupada said. So the king should be like that. He should be supportive of everyone in one sense. Just like we see Krishna. I mean, if we look at the world or the city of Los Angeles even, you know, we see that people are committing so many sinful activities. You know, among the whole population, only a few at this moment are devotees of Krishna. But ultimately, everyone's a spirit soul. And Krishna is providing for everyone. You know, sometimes when I'm flying into the city, you know, I look down, you see the vast city of Los Angeles, and I can see the place where the temple is when you're coming into the airport, you know, from another place. But Krishna is supporting everyone. So, in a sense, the ruler has to be like that. Then, it says he will be forbearing like the earth. And Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, the earth has to tolerate so many disturbances caused by the residents. They're exploding atomic bombs. Srila Prabhupada said on the surface of the earth, that was true then. Since then, they've made some atomic bomb testing treaty where they don't explode on the surface of the earth now, but they go underground and test the atomic bombs underground. Still a disturbance to the earth. You know, they're drilling so many wells, they're poisoning the earth, poisoning the land, poisoning the water with all their industrial contaminants and things like that. But the earth tolerates. So in this verse it's being said that King Pariksit will be like that. But there are limits to toleration, even for the earth. In the eighth canto of the Bhagavatam, there's the story of Bali Maharaj and Vamana. Krishna appeared in his incarnation as a dwarf Brahmin boy, and he approached Bali Maharaj, who was the king of the demons, who had conquered the universe. And Krishna, in the form of Vamana, asked for 3 steps of land. And Bali Maharaj said, okay, you can take 3 steps of land. It's not very much. But Vaman, you know, this was his trick to get possession of the universe for the demigods, because Bali had conquered everything. So he took 3 steps, but his 3 steps covered the whole universe. And even Bali Maharaj himself had to offer his head for the last step. So Bali Maharaj had a guru, Shukracharya, and Shukracharya was telling him, no, you have to take it back. You know, you shouldn't have done that, you know, say. And Bali Maharaj replied to him, no, I can't do that. You know, you give something to a Brahmin, you can't take it back. I would be, you know, I would be turning myself into a liar, because I promised him I would give him everything, and now if I take it back, that means I'm a liar. And he said, in according to the Bhagavatam verse, and the earth will tolerate everything except the presence of a liar. And in his purport to that verse, Srila Prabhupada explains, in the Kali Yuga, lying is like a daily occurrence. People lie all the time. You know, from the highest positions in society down to the lowest. He says, so you can just imagine the kinds of reactions people are going to get to all that untruthfulness and lying. So there are limits to the toleration of the earth. You know, sometimes Bhumi, the goddess of the earth, has to go to Lord Brahma, the chief demigod, and saying, it's too much. Something has to be done. Then Lord Brahma will go to the shore of the Milk Ocean and address Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu, the earth is not able to tolerate anymore, you know, the actions of the Asuric population that is disturbing her so much. So Krishna comes to adjust the situation. And then finally, it says he'll be tolerant like his parents. And parents, like the earth, often have to tolerate a lot from their children as they're growing up. But they do it lovingly. So the king should also be like that. And the word that's used here is sahishnu, tolerant. Pitaraviva, tolerant like the parents. So we also see that word used in Lord Chaitanya's Shikshastakam prayers. Trinadapi sunechena taror eva sahishnuna. Tolerant like a tree, lowly like, or humble like the grass. Amanina, Amanadena, Kirtaniya, Sadahari, you know, not accepting any respect for oneself, but giving all respect and honor to others, and in that mood, chanting the holy names of the Lord. So these are the qualities that are being expressed in this translation and purport. I'll stop there. Any comments or questions? Yes.
Thank you for the very nice class, Prabhu. You reminded me of when I was 19, I became very frustrated, and then suddenly this detachment came over me, like a Pingala-type mood, and I left home and I started wandering, and I ended up in the hills up in Hawaii. And I guess because the Rockies are much too cold, more cold, and there's a lot of fruits in Hawaii and fruit trees. But after a few days of struggle, I realized I was very lonely. And that's when I went down out of the hills, and that's when I met the Hare Krishna devotees.
Yes. Many of us go up all kinds of mountains looking for something, and we don't find it, and we come back down, and Krishna gives us a chance. Anything else? Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Just the flowers, roses,